rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hi, Legs.
Hi, Lizzie.
We are on our fourth episode, and we just recorded, which is perfect. We recorded 20 minutes of Lizzie's punk story. And if you'd like to hear the whole story, you can go to YouTube. And we will just do the summary version right now, which is actually perfect because it went too long, and we're trying to have 20 and 30 minute episodes. I will just ask you, why don't you, if you don't mind, without telling the whole, so what I told was the story of the Punk Rock Bowling Festival and all the wonderful people at the Punk Rock Bowling Festival, but why don't you, in maybe a paragraph, summarize the other parts that I said? Like, what did you hear me saying in the part about the quiz? And we'll put this quiz, there's a punk rock quiz, and the title of it, it's on the website allthetests.com, and it's What Kind of Punk Are You? What did you hear me talking about? What were your impressions even? You don't have to recount it.
So I'm not, first of all, we don't rehearse this. This is, and we also many times don't know what the other person is going to say. And so with that, I'm a little gobsmacked here by what you came up with and the depth that you went to look at this more deeply.
Thank you, sweetie.
And, I'm almost, yeah. I'm,
that was Taylor, liked it too.
I almost get choked up because this has been, punk for me has sort of been a singular experience. And first you have joined me in exploring this experience together, but then you've also looked at the reason why I really love punk, and that's what you explained, is that it includes people of all types. It also doesn't want haters. It doesn't want people that aren't willing to be a part of a group with a common goal and interest, which the bottom line is, have a nice life, be peaceful, love each other, don't hate. And that's what I got from you, was that you might have all these different genres of punks. They've tried, you know, people like to put things in categories. So yeah, there's gonna be hardcore, there's gonna be peace, punks, there's gonna be all these different ones. But they're still all punks because they started out with the initial idea of what punk was about, and then all they did was fine-tune it for their tastes. You and I have many different musical tastes. There's some Americana music that we listen to that we would define the people as punk. You went in and you took this test that I've never taken, and I've been living this thing since the late 70s. And probably before that, because I didn't know what I was. And you've told people and me, I just learned something from you. And that's why it's perfect, and that's why we're together, is because you might not think you're punk because you think you haven't been at it long enough, but you have the soul of punk inside you,
down to
your bone marrow. And that's what makes me realize.
That's a huge compliment.
Why I'm madly in love with you. And I'm together.
Well, sometimes the cogs kind of take a bit for me to like realize something. And one thing I realize is that's really backup audio. So we can just, rather than retelling parts of what I said, and you summarized it really well, we'll just use that audio and we'll paste it. And we will have already told people that at the beginning of the show, and so I don't have to talk about that. So I won't go into anything that I already said, but I will keep going. Is that all right?
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on a roll, so let's keep going. I don't want to take away from
I want to get your feedback on some of this.
Yeah, so please.
So when it makes my heart really heavy when I think about these groups that are racist and separatists, and one of the bands, which we are not going to say their name because I don't think we need to give any airtime to the name of the band, but they're within the quiz. We will just say a tool chest instrument, and they're the band that this quiz identified to this group of racist separatists. Stagnatists is going to be the term, and if we find a better one,
I like that. That's a good one.
That can be the term. So we read that first part. So basically, the first group of, I'm going to kind of spoil the quiz, but I think it's okay because now that you know the quiz, it's going to affect it for you anyway, but you would go and pick the people that you would like,
right?
And do the quiz and what you could see. So in the first group of bands, I learned about the band Crimpshine. And what I love about punk are these amazing lyrics, which I learned from Legs when he turned me on to Bad Religion, and these intelligent lyrics. But I think I'm pretty much done, other than at the end I'll let you know what kind of punk they said I was. But can I read the lyrics of this
yes.
song?
And this is from Crimpshine.
Crimpshine.
That's a cool name.
It's called Butterflies. When I was younger, I chased butterflies. Now I look around and realize there ain't no butterflies around here no more. More people everywhere. And on ground that once was bare, they've built condos and shopping malls. And on streets I walked where the sun shined, shadows grow as buildings climb. And I get older, getting colder every day. The concrete stretches for miles. They put it up in different styles, but it still looks pretty ugly to me. Whistling Lead in brackets. What a pity, they fucked up this city where I grew up. Now it's grown too big and there's no room for me. Maybe it's just because I was younger, but people seemed so much friendlier and life was simpler when I was growing up. People closed up as their defense, protecting what space they had left. Now everyone's uptight and tense. The city's bleakness makes people numb. Sounds and lights an escape from having to deal with anyone. I want to live in a place where I can see the smile on the face of someone passing by and saying hi. Whistling Lead in brackets. Now I need to find a place where I can grow and climb and chase butterflies again. And I believe, here I wrote, those are the artists. I believe he was from Berkeley, but what I thought might be fun for a podcast is take these categories. You're the one that says words in the Irish pronunciation.
Oh, you mean, controversies. I'm trying to be good.
And take each genre and each of these bands that they've picked, and we won't, you know, give airtime to the one that is shall not be spoken, but I would think it'd be interesting, or maybe in these genres you can pick bands, but I'd love to learn more about it. And just to end, what kind of punk am I? 50% of my score was under peace punk. As a peace punk, you embody the essence of punk in most introspective and thoughtful form, possess a keen intelligence and compassionate heart, qualities that make you stand out in any crowd. Your skepticism towards societal norms and structures doesn't stem from mere rebellion, but from a deep-seated desire for justice, equality, and peace. You navigate the punk scene with a level-headedness that is as rare as it is essential. Whew! Advocating for change not through violence, but through dialogue, art, and peaceful protest. I have a book series that I think would fall under that. Your authenticity is your hallmark. I won't go on. But
they very much know who you are.
Aw. Well, and then 18%, 30% I'm crust punk, and then 20% hardcore punk.
Right on. You got
scores.
A little bit of hardcore in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you, sweetie, for allowing
anything
that.
We talk about punk,
today,
it's all good. No.
So we'll see where we're going a little long today, but I think we should just keep going.
I agree.
Okay. So I'm going to lead you in, hopefully, if I can find my place. You might need to... how are we? That's not... Oh, yeah. Thank you. Okay.
We have the prop.
So why don't you start in on... I'll lead you in. The next part of the podcast today, we wanted to talk about some love topics and some tools that we use. And one of the tools is the bicorn.
So the bicorn, well, as you, if you've been watching our other podcasts, we love bicycles. And we've met at an age in our lives where, you know, we've lived a little bit. You know, we've had other relationships. And we're also, we also are used to running our own show and being alone. We enjoy being alone, but we also enjoy more being together. And so when we came together, we had to figure out a way to communicate and join our lives together, because we realized what we had was so important that, you know, we needed to find a common way of communicating, and having a good relationship, we believe, is having the ability to communicate, which we've done well. But because we both feel like we always have something to say, so I can, and I'm going to speak for me now, so I can't speak for Lizzie. I feel like I have something to say, and what I don't want to do is many times I want to listen to what you're saying and not be worried about thinking about all the things you're going to say to me so I can remember it all. I want to be fully engaged and present when you're talking to me, not thinking about the next thing I got to say to you so I lose everything you're saying to me. Then it just becomes a, you know, one-sided. If you do the same thing and I'm not saying you are, it's just a one-way. And the other thing was one-way conversation. The other thing for me was that I wanted to know that I could say something, say my thought, put a period at the end, and then have Lizzie go and say what she needs to say. And if I know that I had the ability to say what I needed to say, and it's not an endless, believe me, I can go on forever. So there has to be like an endless, you know, just a finite period of time we've agreed upon that we communicate together. And then, so how we do it is that Lizzie comes up with these tools. She's done them before, and they've worked. So this one here, I joke, this was like the bicycle horn that saved the relationship. Here I'm being Vanna White here with the presenting it. And we happened to, she happened to have this, of all things. We don't actually squeeze the thing, but it's not even a prop. It's an important part of our relationship. If we have something important to discuss, it's sitting there on the table. The person that's talking has the horn in front of them or holding it, vice versa. And so then I know that I can say my thought, put a period at the end, hand the horn to Lizzie. Lizzie says what she needs to say. Here, legs, it's now your turn. And it allows, and again, for me, it allows me to sit there and relax and take in what she's saying to me in its full entirety, knowing that I don't, and for me was, not having to clean up my words. In other words, I want her to know this was my clear, hopefully clear, concise thought, and that I'm not going back and backtracking because I've now been able to say what's on my mind. And she's listened to it, and this is this exchange. I just find that it's I'm not as tense, I'm not fearful, and what I've learned is when you're in fear, you cannot be in love. And so I want to be in love with Lizzie. So that's why I found this really important. Hopefully I explained it correctly, but I explained it from my point of view.
That was perfect. Really, really perfect.
So now that's my period. And I put the bicycle horn down.
Yeah, I'll pick up the bicycle horn. I'm surprised we didn't come up with this sooner. We talked about ideas around it. At one point in our relationship, we came upon, we had a suggestion from someone in our lives, this nonviolent communication, which if you read up on it, comes from, you know, it just seemed like to have the word violence in the title of the process that you're about to take on didn't feel quite right. But in that, that has a similar thing where you're listening, you're repeating back what the person said so that the person feels heard. And then we just have had many times when we just get in the muck. And this tool, I would say, like of all the things we've done, had the most dramatic, calming, helpful effect. And we're not always perfect, and we don't always feel we need it, so we don't always grab it. And then sometimes if we're like, oh, we better get it, at first it seems like a statement to say, I'm going to get the horn, right? I'm going to go get the bicycle horn. But when we get it,
yeah, I agree.
It's not like we never regret that we get it.
Never.
So Legs is talking while I'm talking now, but that's not typically what happens. And we just generally, if that does happen, we just say, we lift it up, I've got the horn. If we feel like that part of the interruption, that it's not time. And then we do try to respect the length, because we both can, obviously, I'm going on again. But whatever, I think we love bicycles, so this works well for us. But whatever item you could turn into the talking stick. There's that Dennis Quaid movie, Eight is Enough, or it's a remake of Eight is Enough. I'm trying to think of the actress's name. But they have a talking stick. So they're eight kids and a single mom, and whoever has it can talk. So I didn't make it up.
Whatever it is, it was a really thoughtful idea. And you've come up with some really good ideas
Thank
for our
you.
Relationship. And it's the one that, like Lizzie said, it's stuck. And we honor it. We might joke around and laugh and so forth, but this is serious. Like, for me, the bicycle horn is serious, but not like in a foreboding way. It's serious because I take our relationship serious, and I want to honor our agreements that if this is how we are going to communicate and it works, then let's do it right. You know, let's have a proper conversation and have a proper life together and a proper love. And that's why I really just, I've latched onto it. I know Lizzie's latched onto it, and it seems to be working for us.
Thank
you.
I heard something on NPR where they were talking about communication styles, and that one family, they were talking about someone marrying into a family that the people were very comfortable talking over one another and jumping in and creating a flow that's kind of like a cacophony of sound, of voices and conversation. And that when someone marries into that they're sitting at the dinner table just quiet while the family's going. So I say that just to say we don't have to beat ourselves up about however we communicate, but that style doesn't serve, it serves us well when we're like riffing in a flow of beautiful conversation, but not when we're have anger or fear or
exactly
getting defensive.
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. We do have witty banter. That's our that's our thing. And we do communicate really well. But again, back to the serious part. This is serious, and so I wanna honor and take it seriously. It's also helping me be a better communicator towards you, you know, to you, and trying to get my point across to you in a clear and concise way, because I've learned that you don't want a whole lot of fluff. You just want me to get to it, say it, not in a mean way, and then we discuss it. And gosh, these tools, we're gonna be together for many, many years, and these tools are the foundation for our long-term relationship. So I cannot thank you enough for doing this. And hopefully some of you out there that are listening to this, you go, yeah, maybe this might work for us too. And then we've helped one couple or two people in some kind of relationship with a family member, because it's actually helped me in my own personal life, how it's made me stop. I might not have the horn like with my daughter, but it makes me stop, makes me listen and be quiet, let her talk, let her finish without interrupting her. That's for me what the horn has done for me.
Well, I think you've been better when we find a tool of like saying, I'm doing it this way now and we decided on this. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Is it okay if I just mention the... So we are going to talk about something in the coming podcast that's really also helped us. And we discussed, we do something on every full moon, and we're going to, we might rename it, but it's the full moon ritual. And it came from my friend Wendy Newman. Her website is wendyspeaks.com. You could go there today and find this on her website. And we will put a version in the show notes. But I was thinking if we take, basically it's something where you ask each other any combinations of questions on this, and we'll talk more about it in more detail. But if we added some principles, some guiding principles to this, in addition to creating our own version that people could download. And one thing that happened for us this morning was Legs brought me a cup of coffee, and instead of accepting it and then maybe talking about anything that could make it better later, I didn't accept it graciously. And so one principle, and then you brought up to me, this is what I would have done. I would have just taken that cup of coffee, even if it wasn't right, because you made it for me. And so I thought one of the principles can be, you know, accept the gift. And that doesn't mean that later there can't be discussion about how things might be slightly different. Like it's like any part of your life, right? You're living a life, your sex life, your whatever it is, finding the appropriate time to make a loving correction. And when the gift is being given, that is not the best time. So how would you feel about a section where we create some principles?
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think it would also relate to apologies, where if we consider an apology a gift, and my gift is coming towards, let's say your gift is coming towards me as an apology, but I still have some clarification. I don't know if you really got it. Like, thanks for the apology, but let's just clarify.
Yeah.
If you're apologizing for exactly what, right, and then that time period for that would allow that person to, one, probably not need to even say any of that, but if they do, say it at a time after you've been able to reconnect with this apology that's coming. And if we label the apology as the gift, it's like, just accept the gift.
I like that, actually.
What do you think about that?
Oh, I like that. Okay. That's really good. That's okay. A really good one.
Accept the gift.
And you know,
five.
I learned the gift, just to know. So early on in our relationship, Avis is a really good cook. And I still remember you would say, can I just make you a plate? Now, being the controlling fool I am in the beginning, I like it this way, I like it that way. Well, I learned to accept the gift. And actually, it's really cool because she knows me. She knows what to put on my plate, how much to put on it. She presents me with my plate, and that is my plate. And I take it for what it is because it's a gift. If it's too hot, too cold, indifferent, not right, doesn't matter because it's a gift. So you actually taught me that gift. And now you've taken that, and I like what you said. This is, you know.
Well, I think that the roommate discussion, because, you know, we just moved in together, that we're going to have that. We talked about having it tomorrow. Like the roommate discussion or the practical discussion then could have, oh, you know, sweetie, so I love getting a plate made for you, but, you know, I think I just like my food 20 degrees hotter than you do or whatever. It's like, you're bringing me cold food.
I don't want
to live years and years like putting up with something. But there is a timing. There's a time and a place.
Yeah.
When someone's doing something loving, because it is kind of like, oh, and then you just think, oh, you don't want to feel like you want to stop doing it. But if I kept doing that to you, and every time you did something nice, I have to criticize it. And I'm sorry, sweetie.
I'm sorry too for the way I reacted. I'm sorry. I you know, and by the way, we just don't say sorry for the hell of it, guys. We say it because we mean it. You know, there's no ulterior motives. We really do. And so when Lizzie says her sorry to me, I know it's heartfelt. So I'm gonna discuss the camping part, right?
I think.
Or are you gonna? You want me
I
to?
I think you should. I think that since I talked so much about the bicorn was yours, I think the camping was mine. But I think you should go for it in a very. Let's just. Yeah. Would you like to talk about in general how we camp, how we got the tent, and just we'll just briefly some of our trips, and then we'll wrap up since we've already gone a little bit longer today. We've gone 50 minutes, but I think.
Thank you for hanging in with us.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to take over your segment because it's a dual.
We but camp the thing together.
Is, there's a couple of things that are really big for me with the gut and camping. First of all, just like the punk thing, I have a partner here that will camp in any kind of weather. Like when I learned that, I went, oh my gosh, that really? Okay, so she really means it. And so when she really means it is that we're about to go on our first camping trip and we have no problem sleeping in a double bed together. Everything's fine. You know, it had to be a small tent, what have you. We're gonna accept that. And she goes out and buys this beautiful, large, tent where, when I say large, it's we're both tall, where we can actually stand up in it. We can put a nice bed in there, have room for Tao to run around. We can even have a heater in there and, you know, our clothes, everything's in there. So it's like our little home away from home. And when she did that, that's one of the ways that Lizzie shows her love for me. She knows how much I love camping outdoors. She loves it. You know, before me, she was going camping on her own with Tao. And I thought that was just so cool that she would feel that comfortable going out in the world and doing that. And now she doesn't have to because she has two guys that run hot and keep her warm. And, you know, it's like, so it was a really, amazing experience. And so, you know, then to be going to our first camping trip, which is in Mendocino and the ocean. And the ocean is a big, big thing for both of us. It's really important to me. A lot of my life was spent on the ocean. And so knowing that she went and she booked the campground, she knew exactly where to go and stay, where we can get out of our tent, stand there and look at the ocean. And we can walk across the street and Tao, who loves the water, he's a Portuguese water dog, she has her two guys in total heaven in Mendocino, and it's romantic, and it's in this beautiful tent. And so every time we camp now, and we've done this a few times, it's just, for me, it's the best vacation I could ever think of. It doesn't matter where we put that tent up. I always know that she got that tent for us, and that there's some bond that we have when we go out in nature and are in this beautiful tent together. And I never sleep better than when I'm in that tent. You know, I just.
It sounds like we're about to announce an a sponsor. No. And we don't even. I meant to look up the name of the tent. We will put it in the show notes. It's a. Can I jump in?
Yeah, go for it. It's too long winded anyway.
It's a canvas, square canvas tent, and it is really, really great. I would say it would be challenging for one person to put up on your own. I think they say you can do it, but it takes a bit of strength to get those final poles up. So two people, it's fine. And the campsite is Van Dam State Park, which means our campsite will be harder to book next time if we get some listeners. But it's a great campsite right on the water. It's on there's a road in between, but you can hear the waves when you sleep, and it's on a creek. And then we went to Springy Point in Sandpoint, Idaho for 10 days. And that place is crowded, but it's on the lake, and it was a lot of fun. And then we, on winter solstice in December, we did our commitment ceremony on the beach at Van Dam and camped again in the winter, did winter camping. We have a little gas heater that we bought so we could be toasty. We turned it on in the morning. I call it glamping. it is comfy. It is not like we're backpacking, and so even though I will camp in any temperature, I like to be warm.
Yeah.
And but it's, you know, you're out and it's chilly at night, and yeah,
it's cozy.
It is what it is. We do it, and not to say it, people go and actually have rugged camping, so that's not what we're doing, but just camping. It's, oh, the other thing we wanted to mention is if you're someone that hasn't done a lot of camping, the first trip is everything. Once you get your gear, and we created a checklist so when we leave we don't have to think and stress if we forget something, but once you camp the first time and you have all your stuff in a tub and what you use to camp, once that's done, then you just can go and you don't have to really worry.
And we have it in the garage in a certain spot. And literally today, if we say, hey, Liz, you want to go camping?
Yeah, we can grab our stuff.
We can throw it in the car and take off. Mm-hmm. And that's a really nice feeling, just knowing that you can work hard and then just know that that's sitting there waiting for you.
We should do that soon.
I think we are. I think we're going to be going on a road trip really soon. So, yeah but I'm always up for camping. And so is Teo.
Okay. Well, that might be a wrap, and we can decide whether we're going to paste in, because we're at 30 minutes without the video that's only on YouTube. We can decide if we paste that in or not. So, Punk Farm.
Love life.
Do stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, and plants. Bye, everyone.
Searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life Podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff. Make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows. It'll never be the same. Old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. So on and on they go. Oh, strangers cry. No. strangers cry. It's lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift along. This old world, she goes round and round. Damn little good within it, he has found. She's a sad, sad song. The joke goes on at home. From the dust, dust he returns. Happen, let them fires burn, just drift away, 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 away. Those strangers cry.